Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association. Missouri produces wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details on the variety of products made in the state are at choosewood.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha.
I have a story that I can't tell with only photography.
I think it's really easy to become sort of tied to showing things that are just about trauma. And breaking out of that, I think, is so important.
The need to accept that you're not in control.
Styled differently than anything maybe I've ever seen.
This explosion of images.
An extra thing that you have to carry with you at all times.
This weekend, Cinema St. Louis kicks off its 17th season of Q Fest, a festival featuring a curation of films focused on queer identity and experience. And in alignment with its aim to put stories on screen that typically need to be sought versus readily found, this year's festival is all about love in so many of its forms. That's not just romantic relationships, which are included, to be sure, but also platonic love as well as fictive kinship and familial love. Here to talk with us about this year's Q Fest before it kicks off on Friday and discuss what makes film such a powerful medium for storytelling about queer love of all kinds, we have Emmett Williams, Director of Festival Curation and Education at Cinema St. Louis. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We also have Jess Dugan, artist, photographer, and director of Letter to My Daughter. Welcome to you as well.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks to both of you for joining us today. Emmett, this is the 17th annual Q Fest, as we've mentioned. It's hosted by Cinema St. Louis. Why has Cinema St. Louis committed year after year to spotlighting queer films and storytelling?
Well, I think that movies are just so magical, whether it's an escape or, you know, spending time with friends and family, or whether you want to, like, sort of, you know, watch that four-hour French documentary. You know, whatever it means to you, it has, like, a power that other mediums and genres, mediums don't necessarily have. And it can also be, most importantly, it can also be transformative, mm-hmm. as far as, you know, seeing yourself on screen. And so I think that's why Q-Fest is so important, is that for people to see themselves on screen and know that, so in a lot of situations, that they're not alone, mm-hmm. and that the films that we'll be seeing sort of teach us that you are there is community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how is it that Q-Fest has grown over the years, maybe particular to, you know, growing community, as you've mentioned?
Well, this is my first year. Mm-hmm. I just started in January. So what I try to do is make sure, like I said before, that everybody sees themselves on the screen. So we have films from the U.S., we have films from Iran, we have films from not only all over the world, but every type of sort of situation, if that mm-hmm. makes sense. I want everybody to, again, you know, make sure that they see themselves on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah. So Jess, from the perspective of someone, you have created some film work, but as someone who's a resident here of St. Louis, I mean, what does Q-Fest mean to the LGBTQ community that you are a part of and to St. Louis as a whole?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love what Emmett said about seeing yourself on screen and the importance of that. And I come to filmmaking from a visual artist background. I work primarily in photography and with language and in the museum space. But I have a long history of being committed to creating representations of queer lives and experiences and showing those in public spaces. And I think it's absolutely essential now, more than it has been even in recent years, with all of the anti-queer and anti-trans legislation we're seeing, to keep telling those stories. Mm-hmm. But it's absolutely essential in places like St. Louis and places like Missouri, which don't always have the large representation that that exists in larger cities.
Mm-hmm. Now, Emmett, you just mentioned that you recently joined in January the mm-hmm. Cinema St. Louis team, but you are a filmmaker yourself and you've curated festivals that happen elsewhere. Is there anything that you had in mind as you were thinking about curating QFest for a place that is in the Midwest?
Well, QFest is a submission festival, so we get 30 to 60 submissions a year, and, you know, our first priority is great film, like Jess's film, Letter to My Daughter. It's amazing. But then outside of that, I try to curate sort of an experience for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So there's everything from the lesbian love film that opens up Concerto for Abigail, to the ballroom film, to a film about trans women in Mexico, trans Mexico. So it's really about best films, but also creating a full sort of like global full circle experience
mm-hmm.
for everybody.
Yeah. Jess, as an artist, I mean, what does queer love, queer storytelling, what does it look like?
That's a great question. I think that's as expansive as there are different storytellers. I think for me, I have always made work that comes from my own identity and my own life and my own experiences in the world. I identify as queer and non-binary. I am now the parent of a almost 6-year-old daughter who's the subject of my film in QFest, or the person to who the letter is directed. And right now, as an artist, I'm thinking a lot about telling stories about life, about all of the complexities of life, about love and desire and intimacy and family and connection and parenthood and loss and growth. And I'm telling those from my own point of view, which happens to be someone who's queer mm-hmm. and non-binary. So I'm thinking less about depicting queerness and more about speaking about life from a queer point of view.
Mm-hmm. And is that partly because of what you have heard from other people about what is either missing or not told well?
Yeah, I mean, I think my creative work comes from this innate need I have to tell my story and express myself, but I also have a very strong belief in the power of representation. Again, like Emmett was saying, sometimes hearing someone tell a story that's similar to yours or seeing pictures of someone who looks like you, it can open up a world of opportunity, of possibility, and it can be a lifeline to people who need to know exactly what you said, that they're not alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the lifeline part is really important. I think that I know that there are stories of people who have seen film and said that it saved their life because they saw themselves on the screen. Can I ask Jessica?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Was there a film that you saw sort of as a youth or a young adult that sort of like inspired you to know that sort of everything is going to be better or okay?
You know, that's a great question. Actually, my most powerful story of seeing representation was in photography with work by Catherine Opie and other still images. But I have been reflecting a lot on film. And when I was coming out as a 13-year-old in the Boston area, I sought out films like Better Than Chocolate, Boys Don't Cry was recently out. You know, these films had significant influences on me, but what I have been reflecting on recently is how many of them centered around a kind of violence. And I'm thinking about what it means for this current generation to have queer storytelling that's not centered around violence, that's not centered around a kind of discrimination. And I think that was very important at the time, but that's also complicated message for a young queer person.
Yeah, and I think that's so. The other festivals that I curated in different parts of the country, they were all sort of based around social justice. And I think it's really easy to become sort of tied to showing things that are just about trauma. And breaking out of that, I think, is so important. Just showing people of color, anybody who's sort of marginalized, that just sort of leading sort of normal lives. And so like mm-hmm. the tension in the film is about something that's sort of everyday.
Right,
I think
right.
is really important.
Mm-hmm. And in the submissions that came in, did you notice that there were more of these positive, for lack of a better word at this moment, these positive representations versus ones that were, you know, so focused on pain?
Yeah, there are a lot of, I mean, I created the theme love, you know, a month or two or a while ago, but a lot of the films were about relationships. And like you said, many, many different versions of relationship. And some of them are kind of quirky. Some of them are like couples and families going through the trauma that we, not the trauma, but like the not violent trauma that we sort of
the
all
challenges,
go through.
The challenges, struggles. Yeah. Right, yeah, yeah. Right. We're going to take a very quick break here, but we will be back shortly to continue our conversation about this year's QFest St. Louis, which opens this Friday, and about queer storytelling and the medium of film. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, providing more than 41,000 jobs in the production of wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details at choosewood.com.
Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Emmett Williams, Director of Festival Curation and Education at Cinema St. Louis, and Jess Dugan, artist, photographer, and director of Letter to My Daughter. Before the break, we were talking about representations on film, and specifically about more representation of everyday sort of quotidian life and queer joy. And, you know, storytelling, as we've noted, it's a powerful tool in sharing lived experiences that don't get enough attention or are not always handled with care. And it also helps, storytelling helps folks who want to learn more about people who are different from themselves. And that's not the first time that we've talked about that on our show. Filmmaker Bobby Best directed the film documentary Tens Across the Board, which is featured in this year's QFest. We talked to Bobby last fall about what inspired him to pick up his camera and capture St. Louis's ballroom scene.
On the East Coast, ballroom culture kind of originated there, and I've always been a fan of it, you know. So even before like Pose was a big thing, the show Pose was a big thing,
sure.
I've just always been a fan of it, been a fan of the music that goes along with it, all the house music and everything. And when I got the opportunity to document the scene here, which I feel is very underrepresented, especially being so close to Chicago, It kind of gets dwarfed, not even dwarfed, it's just overseen, it's overshadowed,
yeah.
I jumped at the opportunity.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And is that the story you're trying to tell in this documentary?
The story I'm trying to tell is actually the story of, it's dual. It's dual purposes. It's the story of ballroom with this younger generation of LGBTQI performers in the city, and the story of Maven's Tens. I mean, he made this from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it was made he wanted to create a safe space that he didn't have as he was coming up in mainstream ballroom. And it's very near and dear to him. And when you hear him talk about it, he's so passionate. I just had to document it.
Yeah. And who are you envisioning as the audience for this?
The audience for this, you know, one would think the ballroom community. But I think, to me, I think everybody can take something from this documentary. It's not just, you know, it's not just about getting your tens. It's not just about walking balls, but it's about community. There's a segment in the documentary where we kind of discover what a house is. And not just a house that walks, but a house that takes care of each other.
Sure.
A house that where the mother or the father of the house houses and counsels. And I think that's just valuable in society nowadays in general.
That was Bobby Best, director of the documentary film Tens Across the Board. His film, along with Jess's Letters to My Daughter, will be screening at this year's QFest, which starts this Friday. Jess, we heard what Bobby had to say about showing what community looks like, know, how the ballroom scene is more than just ballroom. He talked about houses as well, homes in a way. And your film, Letter to My Daughter, is that. It is a letter in film form to your daughter, Eleanor, whom you said is now six. Why share that letter with everyone?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I personally, in my creative practice, turn to filmmaking when I have a story that I can't tell with only photography. And so it comes from this place where I feel this deep need to tell my own story. And this particular video traces my journey to becoming a parent, along with Eleanor's mother, Vanessa, and our process accessing fertility treatment, our experience with miscarriage and loss, our experience working with donors, and then it sort of switches to chronicling my experience becoming a parent, both as a non-binary person, figuring out what kind of language to use, negotiating dynamics around schools and playgrounds, but also just universally and looking at what it means to love a child so immensely. And for me, I wanted to tell this story because I don't see it told often. I think there are still, even as we've made a lot of progress around representations of queer lives and experiences, I think there are still very few experiences of queer parenting and queer families, and also in particular butch parenting or transmasculine parenting. And I realized at some point that even though, you know, going to the playground and taking care of my daughter was my day to day, so many people had never seen an image of someone like me caring for a child.
Right.
And so I wanted to tell this story out of my own innate, you know, creative and personal need, but I also was very aware that there is a significant lack of these kinds of stories being told and these kinds of representations.
There's a great line in her film, which it's their film, when they talk about the weight of living, which is, you feel that throughout the film of just like, it's an extra thing that you have to carry with you at all times. And it's portrayed, it's such a great film. The vulnerability, I think, really comes through, and it's styled differently than anything maybe I've ever seen. I'll say that.
Definitely in my practice, I'm often trying to make work that resonates for a queer or trans audience, but I also want it to be educational to a much more expansive audience. And so I think this film, while it does tell a very specific story of parenthood and family and queerness, like Emmett was saying, I think it also explores just universally what it means to be a parent and
right.
the duality of this immense love, for me, a life-changing love, and the risk of loss that comes with that and the need to accept that you're not in control of this person or what happens to them. And it's so the film, I think, at its core is kind of grappling with these big life questions, but of course it also has very clear queer representation.
Yeah. And on that note about educating, there's the part in the film where you come up with a name for Eleanor to call you. Why was that so important?
That's a great question. Thank you. Yes. So my daughter calls me Pari, which is spelled P-A-R-I, and it's short for parent. And when I became a parent, I didn't feel comfortable with either being mom. I don't identify as male, so something like dad didn't feel comfortable. I have other friends who use language like Baba. There are other gender-neutral terms. But for me, I just wanted something that my daughter could call me that clearly meant I was her parent. And that word felt correct. But what that also means is I'm often explaining that and telling people what that means.
Yeah. I did watch it. It was very moving. And as we're talking about film and your background being in still photography, we do see that still photography, but it is moving. And what sort of struck me was that if it had been a photo exhibit, that the viewer would then be left to see it at the pace that they want to. But there's something about seeing it in 16 minutes, the way that you had put it together, that was really striking. Do you consider yourself now a filmmaker? This is not the first documentary you've made, but where do you sit when it comes to that particular title?
Yeah, that's such an interesting question because I have never used the language of filmmaker, but you know, I consider myself an artist, and I think over the past 5 or 6 years, maybe beginning with my first film, Letter to My Father, in 2017, I've been increasingly moving towards storytelling and bringing in language, bringing in narrative, bringing in the moving image. Mm-hmm. And my film, Letter to My Daughter, as you mentioned, is really a series of still photographs that are set to this letter that I'm reading out loud to her. But I absolutely think about the pacing. I actually spent a year and a half making this film, and I storyboarded it on my studio wall. And the amount of pictures after she was born is, you know, 2 to 3 times before. And so there was this way in which I was really thinking about the pacing and kind of having this explosion of images once she came into my life, which mm-hmm. kind of mirrored my experience yeah. of parenthood.
Mm-hmm. Emmett, what do films like Tens Across the Board and Jess's Letters to My Daughter have in common that some folks might not pick up on just from a glance at a movie poster or even by reading quick synopses?
I think it's community. I mean, I think that when I started talking to Cinema St. Louis about coming to work here, one of the things that we both stressed and what sort of lured me to the job was that there was a huge focus on building community. Mm-hmm. And I think through this festival, we're doing that. Not only are we showing films, but on this coming Saturday, we're having a LGBTQ+ youth art sale. So I invited a few youth throughout the city, working with MTUG and Proud Art to sell their films, sell their art mm-hmm. In our lobby. We have an LGBTQ filmmaking networking event. So there's lots of things that are going on that the focus is to build community.
Yeah.
And so that's really something that's really important to us.
So Jess, how does it strike you that love is the theme of this Q Fest, and that your daughter, who is old enough to go see this film, like that it's going to be happening this way?
Yeah, I mean, I love that love is the theme because I feel like I'm at a place in my life personally, and also we're in a place politically where that really just seems like the thing that matters in so many ways. Mm-hmm. You know, love between people, love between families, love of yourself, love within a community. So I think that's a really poignant theme that can apply to a lot of different things. And, you know, it's actually interesting. I think my daughter's a little too young to see the content of the film, mm-hmm. so she won't actually come see it, which is on one hand disappointing, but she'll see it when she's older. But I'm very excited. This is actually my first film festival, and I'm excited to have my film festival debut in the town where I live mm-hmm. and where all my friends and family can see it.
And very quickly, in about 30 seconds, Emmett, what is the Gay It Forward program?
So Jess's film is in a shorts program, and all of our shorts are free. And it's part of our Gay It Forward program, which is a few donors throughout the city who decided that they wanted to make sure that everybody has access to these films. So there's a Gay It Forward program, and it's really special. So all of our shorts, just 2 this weekend and 1 next weekend, are free to the public.
Emmett Williams is Director of Festival Curation and Education at Cinema St. Louis, and Jess Dugan is an artist, photographer, and director of Letter to My Daughter. Jess and Emmett, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
St. Louis on the Air proudly supports local artists by using music from Life Creative Group.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association. Missouri produces wood pallets, railroad ties, white oak barrels, hardwood floors, and more. Details on the variety of products made in the state are at choosewood.com.